Invite you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. But I actually want to back into chapter 21 and read a few verses, and then we'll get into chapter 22. Chapter 21 of Revelation begins when verse 1 says, "I saw," this is John the Apostle writing this, what he saw, what the Lord allowed him to see. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said, Write unto me, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Chapter 22, verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us again pray. Our Father in heaven, we just again thank you so much for showing us that you are going to send your Son back to this world to have us to be able to stay with Him for the 1,000 years on this earth and then to be with Him forever and ever. Lord, we thank you though that first of all He came and died in our place, died for our sins, arose from the grave. And we thank you so much that He is providing intercession for us today. Lord, I pray if there's one in our midst this morning that does not know your Son Jesus as Savior, that today will be the day of salvation, because as your word says, I come quickly. And Lord, I pray that as your Spirit moves mightily among us, may your word speak to our hearts this morning. Guide my words. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. The text that I read there in chapter 21 was again that the Apostle Paul had seen a vision of the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And that follows after the old heaven, the old earth, and the old Jerusalem are burned up. And this understanding of what's going to occur following the conclusion of the Lord's millennial reign here on earth, followed by the battle of Gog and Magog, followed by the great white throne judgment, and then the destruction of the earth and heaven around it, provides us the reason why we want to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why we want to be ready for the second coming. I will tell you that lack of preparation for the second coming of Christ, and what I mean the lack of preparation is very simple. You have not turned to Christ or God, if you will, in repentance, and through faith, trusting in Jesus Christ to save you. That is simply not prepared, means you're not prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you have not trusted in Christ as Savior, you're not ready for Him. It makes you unprepared for His return. Now, generally, the major reason for one's unbelief in Christ, or if you will, the rejection of God's grace unto eternal life, is due to the lack of knowledge as to the fact that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. It also stems from sometimes that we don't understand that Christ is the only one who can save us from eternal damnation and then subsequently to a condemnation to a devil's hell. So this morning we're going to begin by discussing who Jesus Christ truly is, and then we're going to progress into discussing His return. You know, one of the greatest facts that we find in Scripture speaks about His past, of who He is. He, in talking about Christ, the Lord of glory. In fact, the Scripture says He was made in the likeness of man. He came to this earth. The Scripture says He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, but He didn't stay there. He arose from the grave just as He said He would, and He arose for our justification. We know that the Scriptures teaches us that in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, and the Word was then what? Made flesh and dwelt among us. Philippians 2:7 says, but He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, made, if you will, in the likeness of man, and then He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself to the fact that as He said, no man could take my life, I freely give my life, and He laid down His life on the cross of Calvary. But then He arose from the grave. And that's why Hebrews 12:2 tells us that it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's who His past was. But what about His presence? What about Him today in the present tense? One of the things I find in Scripture that is so encouraging is He is our intercessor. And I will tell you, we need an intercessor. As children of God, we have the accuser. Satan is always accusing us before God. And we need an intercessor. We need someone that's going to come between us and God. In fact, it says that in Hebrews 7:25, It says, wherefore he is able to save, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for us. And then we have the idea and understanding of the future. The future meaning about Christ. That one day he is going to come again. And the scripture says he is going to receive us unto himself. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, if you recall, is that as the disciples were watching him and speaking to him, and then what did they do? They saw him ascend in a cloud going up to the Father. And the scripture says there in verse 9 of Acts 1, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We are going to move on now to talk about the second coming of Christ. One of the things I recently heard a preacher make this statement. While some worry about when they are going to die, and maybe by what means they're going to die, it is a certainty that we are all going to die. The question is not, when will I die? The question is, am I prepared to die? As it is a certainty that we are all going to die, it's just as certain that Jesus Christ is going to return. And to ask this question, are you ready for Christ's return? One of the things I want to mention this morning and starting and looking at the second coming of Christ is that it is a certainty that he is going to return. In fact, you know, if you were to study throughout the New Testament, you would find that there's over 300 times in the New Testament that there are teachings concerning the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is not a myth. It is a Bible fact. And in fact, as we're reading here in Revelation 22, verse 6 and 7, it says that he said unto me, John again writing, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now you've got to realize that when this was written somewhere around roughly 90 AD, shortly to come. Now you may roll forward and say, well, wait a minute, is that it's been nearly 2,000 years since he was here. So where is his coming back? When is he coming back? He seems to have gone on and you say from Scripture that it says which shall shortly be done, but it's going to happen. Because you need to understand, and I need to understand, is that with God, time is not something that God worries about. He says that he is going to return. And when he comes, he's going to come quickly. Now, there's a lot of discussion about when he's going to come, but we're going to talk about that further in the message this morning, some of the signs that point us to when he's going to come so that we understand his coming is quickly. But just because he hasn't come back in 2,000 years doesn't mean he's not coming back. He is going to come back. Just as clear and just as true as he arose from the grave, he is coming back. Just as true that he was born of a virgin, just as true that he walked this earth for some 33 and a half years, and he died on the cross and he arose from the grave, just as true that he came the first time, is also bears witness that he's going to come back just as he says the second time. And he said in verse 7 of our text, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Jesus himself, while he was here, said, I will come again. In fact, as recorded in John 14, starting in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In fact, the scriptures, as I quoted out of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, The angels told of Christ's second coming, when again they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven." The message of Revelation is from the same Lord God that inspired the prophets of old. The Lord gave the prophets their message. And He is the one who has given the great message of Revelation. And I will tell you this morning, it is a matter of belief. We either believe that He's coming back, or we don't believe it. We either believe the Scripture is true, or we don't believe the Scripture is true. You know, there is no gray area. Either He's coming back, or He's not. Either the Scripture is true, or it's not. And by the way, even though you may say it's not, you're not the arbiter of God's Word. He said, "This is my word. My word is true from the beginning to the end." Even though you may not believe it, even though you may not embrace it, but His word is always true. The question is, do you believe His word? The Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, has done just what the verses state, the things which must shortly come to pass. The time is at hand. In fact, go back to our text, Revelation, verse 10, 22, 10 and 11. "And He saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Do you realize that there is another passage in the book of Revelation where John was told to seal up what he had seen? Because what he had seen, I think, was so horrifying, especially some things about the tribulation, that he was told, "Don't write it down," meaning seal it up, because they couldn't handle it, they'd seen it. But here he says, he's instructed, do not seal up the sayings of the prophecy of this book, of this portion, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. But I will tell you, my friends, this morning, is that whatever our decision is, we had better listen to God's Word. We had better listen to what His Word has to say, because failure to do so will doom us for all of eternity if you say, "I do not believe that Jesus is coming again." It will doom you for all of eternity. In fact, John 8:24, Jesus made this statement, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You know, I came across a verse in the Old Testament I think that's very applicable here. Proverbs 24:20. It says, "For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." And I think that really sums up when an individual who will not trust in Jesus as Savior, who rejects not only Jesus' first coming, but also rejects His second coming and dies in unbelief, it is as if the candle has gone out. We know that that individual is going to live for all of eternity in a devil's hell, burning in the lake of fire. That's what the Scriptures teach us. But it is if the candle has gone out. Now think about here, we've talked about the certainty of His coming. What about the character of His coming? Some things that are going to happen. If you will, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to draw your attention down to verse 13. I want to notice here some things about the character, if you will, of His coming. Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep," or that are already passed on. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So what do we find in this text? We find that for the Lord Himself is going to return. He's not sending someone else to do this job. He is going to return. We find there's going to be a resurrection. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We find there's going to be a rapture. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And then there's going to be the reunion to meet the Lord in the air. To meet the Lord in the air. So the character of His coming. We also find is that about the character of His coming is that there's going to be praise to His holy name. We shall ever be with the Lord. Now I will tell you, I think also what's probably going to happen in that time is that when we come to meet the Lord in the air, is the judgment seat of Christ is probably going to take place at that time as well. The judgment seat of Christ. By the way, the judgment seat of Christ is only for saved individuals. The judgment seat of Christ is not for unbelievers. The great white throne judgment, which if you were to back into Revelation chapter 20, speaks about the judgment to the unbelievers, which happens after the battle of Gog and Magog, which happens right before this earth and this heaven are burned up. So that's the great white throne judgment. But we have the judgment seat of Christ. And again, there is no clarity as to exactly when it's going to happen. I'm just telling you, probably at that time it's going to happen. We know that the judgment seat of Christ is going to happen for the saints before the Lord. But then we look at the character of His coming. It's coming upon His return. He will personally reward, or I should say upon His return, He is going to reward every person who is, that has believed. Now, I will say I will tell you that there are those that are still going to come before the Lord, the unbelievers. But again, great white throne judgment. Those who have believed will come before the Lord. Now there's some discussion. I'll make this statement. And I truly believe that the Lord's coming is going to be, when He comes for the rapture, is going to be at the beginning of the tribulation. That's when I believe is going to take place. And I believe that we also need to understand is that there is going to be those that are going to be saved during the tribulation. And they are going to be judged before the Lord as well. And they will receive whatever the rewards. So I know some contend and will say that the judgment seat of Christ comes right at the end of the time of tribulation. That's why I said there's all this controversy as to the when. That's why I'm not dogmatic on when the judgment seat is going to happen. The when. But I'm very dogmatic. It's going to happen. And I believe it's going to happen before the millennium takes place. So it is pre-millennium, but that's when the judgment seat of Christ is going to take place. The Scripture says that every one of us, upon His return, that are believers, are going to be judged by what we have done. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So we have the character. What's going to happen when He comes? But we also have the comfort. Remember what we read there in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. The comfort of His coming. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I will tell you that the second coming of Christ is to be looked upon as that balm, if you will, that salve for the brokenhearted. If I did not have hope, and I'm talking about expectant hope of Christ's return, I would be most miserable. Because you see, if we don't have the hope of a second return, then all we have is what's here on earth. That we're here on earth, that we're going to live for some period of time on this earth, and I have no hope. But you see, knowing that He's coming, that gives me great expectant hope. That is something that brings me comfort. It should bring you comfort. You know, one of the things that we find also that we read there in Revelation 22 and 16, where it says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." One of the things that we as churches ought to be bringing before our congregations and before our classes of you know, the various age groups that we have, that Christ is going to return. That is one of the things that ought to be ever present before us. I realize that day in and day out, we're bombarded with evil things around us. We're bombarded with worldly things about us. And oftentimes, is that we start to lose sight of our hope in Jesus. And sometimes we might buy into the narrative that, well, Jesus hasn't come now. By now, is He going to come? And we get this hopeful. We start to take our eyes off of the fact that Christ is definitely going to come back. And we start sometimes throwing up our hands, and we start throwing up our hands and say, well, where's the use in going forward? The Scriptures tell us in His Word here, first of all, the reason that we come together, the reason that we assemble together, so that not only do we provoke one another into love and good works, but we are to bring comfort to one another that Christ is coming again. We bring hope to one another. We remind one another that Christ is coming. In fact, we remind ourselves, as the Apostle Paul told Timothy, as it was recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. So you see, is that there is to me, what are we to find here? A crown of righteousness. But you will not receive that crown of righteousness if you're not what? Loving the day of His appearing. Then you say, well, how can you say that I will not receive it? Because 1 Corinthians also tells us is that all of our works, all of the things that we have done here on this earth, even in the name of the Lord, are going to be tried in the fire. Some of our works are going to fall short. And they're going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. And they're burned up. Those works have no rewards out of them. But then there are those rewards that are going to make it through the fire, and they're going to be like gold, silver, and precious stones. And those will be the remaining works. And based on those remaining works, our rewards will be given for such. But then he says also, for those folks that all of their works were burned up, they will be saved, yet so is by fire. No rewards. But they're there because they trusted in Jesus. You see, to have this crown of righteousness where I have kept the faith, I have fought the fight, but I think it's more than just keeping the faith and staying in the fight. I believe you must love His appearing. You must be looking for His appearing. That is our great hope. Because you see, if it's only about what I'm doing for the Lord, I have taken my eyes off what He has done for me. And that I'm going to be with Him. The operative word is, I'm going to be with Him. Yes, He's going to be with us. But the point is that I'm going to be with Him. What's the importance of that? Is that if He is not here for me to be with Him, then where is my hope? What am I looking forward to? He is coming back so that we can be with Him. He says, I will be with you always, forever, for all of eternity. I have to love His appearing, His presence, His walking with me. It is not about me. It is all about Him. And I love the fact that He is coming. So that brings comfort to us. The second coming of Christ is, again, a living, it's a vibrant hope for the blood-bought saint of God. Titus, well, Paul writing to Titus says this in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But I will tell you again is that the Lord's comfort is only going to be afforded to those who are truly watching and waiting for His return. In fact, the Lord tells us in Luke 12, starting verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will serve or come forth and serve them. If He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. And we have a warning. If we are not watching, we're not waiting, we're not longing. We have a warning in Luke 12, also starting in verse 45. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, this did not say, you're going to lose salvation. It said, as a servant, that word servant was used, you will be rewarded with that of unbelievers. In other words, there are no rewards. You're there, yet so is by fire. And it says, and that servant will be beaten with many stripes. Now, I will tell you this. It's not necessarily that you would be actually beaten, but the Scripture says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing. You say, isn't that wailing and gnashing of teeth only reserved for the unbelievers? No, it is for the believers. When you have to stand before the Lord in unbelief that He was coming, unbelief of the hope, standing in... Now I'm talking about children of God. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about children of God that have lost sight of the hope that He is coming again, and they went back to living for the world. They were living like demons. Remember what Paul said? He was a servant. He was a faithful servant. Fellow servant. And then he did what? He started to love the things of the world. He went back to serving self. He went back to the world because the world was more important. Didn't say Demas lost salvation. It said that Demas loved the world, ended up loving the world more than he loved Christ. Demas will stand before the Lord. And I will tell you, as if you are being beaten with stripes, when our Lord says to us, if our Lord says to us, thou unfaithful servant, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There will be sorrow. There will be tears because we were not looking for Christ's return. We were not watching, we were not waiting. Oh yeah, you have a home in heaven. Yes. Salvation is for all of eternity. You trust in Jesus as your Savior? The Scripture says you're sealed. The Scripture says you have a home in heaven. But I will tell you, there are no positions, no rewards. That is where I truly believe it's going to be as if we were beaten with many stripes. That is the feeling that we will have. Though that God's love says, you're still my child. You're still in heaven. You see, when we lose sight, we lose the comfort of His coming, and we turn away from watching and waiting, is that we are going to be left with no rewards and in many tears. Now let's think about the condition of His coming, because He is coming. What's going to happen? What's going to happen that precedes His coming? The Scriptures are also very clear. False prophets are going to come. You know what those false prophets are going to say? Is that He's already come. Or He's over there. He's over here. Why do it? Why stick around 2,000 years to end, come back? Those false prophets are going to affect. Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew 24, starting in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And boy, we've had a lot of Christ, if you will. Little C's, of course. We have a lot of people that claim to be Christ. He says, they'll come and they'll say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24 and 11 says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Peter writes in 2 Peter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. The Scriptures also teach us, as Jesus stated in Matthew 24, 6 and 7, that there would be wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. And it says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Just about every day you turn on the news, and what do you hear of? More famine. You hear of earthquakes. Earthquakes, whether they're here in the United States, earthquakes whether they're abroad, and whether they're here in North America, but there are earthquakes. Mexico just had an earthquake recently. Earthquakes all over the place. So you hear of that. You'll hear of wars. You'll hear of rumors of wars, as the Scripture says. These are all things that are conditions prior to Jesus coming. And I will tell you, if you were to survey of the last 40, 50, 60 years, you would say that today we are in a much worse place than where we were 40 to 50, 60 years ago. The wars, the rumors of war. Now, I can tell you this. Because of our communication ability today, because of our media that we have today, whether it's the mainstream media, whether it's cable news, I don't care what it is, we have instantaneous 24-hour day, 7 days a week, we have news that tells us about what is going on in any country that's going on. And so, when the Scriptures tell us that we will hear more and more about this, I believe that the media is doing it for us today, showing us how rapidly we're getting closer to the Lord's return. How about the abounding lawlessness and the diminishing love that's going on in our society? Not only here at home, but abroad. The things that are happening, in fact, Matthew 24 and 12, Jesus says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Judges 21 and 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's where we are today. The Scriptures tell us that it's evil to call evil good and good evil, but isn't it what our society is doing? Everything has been turned upside down. The true love or deep affection of the many or the masses is going to grow cold, is what the Scripture is saying. But you know, as children of God, even though that we see these things happening, what should be happening is our love should be growing. People need to hear about Jesus Christ. People need to hear that Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved, that we might have a hope and have home in heaven. I will tell you, for however long the Lord tarries, for however long the Lord tarries, and think about this, every day that time marches on with man, the Lord's return is that much closer. If we understand that, we understand that time is starting to close on right before the tribulation comes. Time is short. You say, well, what if the Lord tarries another 100 years? What's 100 years? With Christ, what is 100 years? If He tarries that long, I don't believe it's going to be 100 years. I personally believe that it could be in our lifetime. It could be in our lifetime. Because all of the prophecies, for the most part, have come to pass. The majority of the prophecies that are given in Scripture have come to pass, but we, as a church, instead of being in a state of disrepair, We ought to be our strongest. Our strongest says, we have the eternal hope of Jesus Christ. And we want to share the eternal hope at His coming. But the Lord tells us there's going to be some events that are going to take place before He returns. Matthew 24:37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And you say, well, what happened before in the days of Noah? Well, prior to the flood, Genesis 6:5-6 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 7:24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. And that's where we are today. People are walking backwards, not forward. We're digressing. We're not improving. Of all the things that man has done and that man is doing to so-called make our lives better, we're stepping backwards. We're not really stepping forward. Think about this. And even though you may be able to do things in less time than you used to be, how has your life really improved with regards to the Lord? How has your life really improved? Oh, you say, well, we have more time to do this, we have more time to do that. But really, how much more time do you spend with your family? How much more time do you spend in God's Word? You just got more things to fill your time up with. I can do more things faster, but yeah. But at the same time, you know, whereas that it used to be that it may have taken me much more time to read the daily news, I've got it at my fingertips. I can read the news in about 30 minutes. I can pretty well tell what's going on around the world. Politically, I can tell you what's going on around the world. I can tell what this politician or that politician, I can tell how this bank is doing and that bank is doing. Within just about 30 minutes of getting up and looking at my screen in the morning, I can tell you what's going on. But can I tell you what God says is going on? Can I tell you what the Word of God says that's going on? You see, having all this knowledge about the world only tells me what the Lord says is going to happen. And is happening. And some of those things are perilous times are coming as it was in the day of Noah. Because why? Christ's return is at hand. Christ's return is at hand. We also see that there's, as a part of His, you know, part of the conditions of His return, is there going to be those that are going to do what? Depart from the faith. I will tell you, as Paul wrote to Timothy, we see the departing from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We also see one of the conditions. Go back to Revelation 22. And where John was instructed to write this. He says in verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of the book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. If we add to this book, God's going to add plagues to us. God's going to judge us harshly if we add to or take away from this book. There are many people today who mistrust God. Mistrust God. Who have taken their eyes off the Lord. And it is because false teachers are standing in churches who are preaching things that are not biblical, who are preaching things that are just downright a lie. And unfortunately, because the congregation has not been reading the Word of God, They take the lies hook, line, and sinker. They follow the man. Instead of following the Lord, they follow the man. And you know, when a man stands up and promises you prosperity, when he promises you that God owes you, when the man stands up and promises you that if we just do good for in our society, collectively we're all going to heaven, when a man stands up and tickles your ears, I will tell you they have added to or taken away from God's Word. And that is what's happened today in many churches. They have taken away, they've added to. That's why when Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, he was astonished. He says, I am so astonished at how quickly you've moved away from the only gospel that was ever delivered unto you. That you've quickly, so quickly moved away from it. And you've started to accept all of these other ways of going to heaven. All of these other ways. And so when we look at the departure from the faith, we look at the departure, and you know, part of the departure is this. We have been taught in our churches today that we should not be suffering, should not have to suffer for the cause of Christ. And if you are suffering, it's because you have lack of faith. If you are suffering, it's because you have lack of faith. But the Lord teaches us in His Word, all they that are godly shall suffer for the cause of Christ. You don't want to suffer? Don't stand for Christ. You don't want to suffer? Don't stand true. You don't want to suffer? Compromise. You don't want to suffer? Then just give in to the world. Let the world define who you are in Christ if you don't want to suffer. By the way, that's a lie in itself. Because if they get their toe in the door and they are able to tell you what a Christian is or isn't, they're going to then put the whole foot in. Then they're going to bring their whole body in, and then they're going to take over your church. They take over the church, that what ends up happening then is that they say, now I will tell you what it means to truly be a Christian and how to get to heaven. And all your doctrines are going to be thrown out because you listen to someone that tickled your ears. That is the condition, the forerunner of what's happening and what the Scripture says is going to happen before Christ returns. So now we have the challenge of His coming. What are we to be doing? First of all, the Scripture says we are to be watching for His coming. You know, it's one thing to know about all these things. Because you see, if you know all these things are going to happen, what it should do is draw us closer to the Lord. The Lord says we are to draw nigh unto Him. We are to draw close unto Him because we see His day approaching. So we're to watch for His approaching. In fact, in Mark chapter 13, verse 33, it says, take ye heed, watch and pray. The Scripture starts out in verse 32 of that text, but of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So we are to take heed. We are to watch. We are to pray, for you know not what the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Now what does that mean? He left his house and gave authority to his servants. The Lord went back to the Father. But He left His servants. And when we talk about His servants, He left His church the responsibility to watch and pray and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But one of the things that is paramount for we as churches, we are given a work, the Great Commission. But He says, watch ye therefore. For you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight. We are to continue working, for Christ is coming. As John 9:4 says, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. While Jesus was here, His work to do was to do the will of His Father. Since Jesus has returned to His Father, and He has left the church. When I talk about church, I'm talking about as the institution. He has left the church the responsibility to do the will of Christ. Because the Scripture says that through the church, He receives honor and glory. So we have been left as He did His work. We are to do our work. But then we are to wake up, for Christ is coming. Again in Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. At the age of 11, I trusted in Jesus. Jesus has been my Savior since the day of age of 11. I pray He's been my Lord. Can't be your Lord until He's your Savior. You see, you ask Him to be your Savior, and then you allow Him to be your Lord. I pray He's been my Lord over the years. You say, well, how in the world is He not your Lord? When I don't submit to Him, He's not my Lord that day. But you see, He's my Lord when I'm watching, I'm waiting, I'm doing the works He would have me to do. And then you know what's going to happen? It says in Matthew 25 and 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him. Back in our text, Revelation 22, verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. We find in that text, as a child of God, we ought to be watching, waiting, and understanding He is coming again. Amen? He is coming. He's going to come quickly. But you know, if you're not a child of God, as I said at the very beginning of this message this morning, you're not ready for Jesus to come. If you have not trusted in Jesus, you're not ready. But notice what the Lord offers. In Revelation 22, in our text, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you've never trusted in Jesus, the Lord says, come. Take the water of life. Take it freely. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that you might have eternal life. The question is, have you come to Jesus? You know, you've got to get thirsty to come to Him. He said, what does that mean, I've got to get thirsty to come to Him? You've got to recognize that you're in a desert place without Christ. There is no thirst quenching. No, you can't go down and get your... You can't go down to the 7-Eleven and buy the thirst quencher. Gatorade will not quench this thirst. Only Jesus can quench the thirst of your spirit. You need to understand that you are destitute. That you're out in the desert, if you will. You're dried up because you do not have the water of life that will flow freely to everyone who will come to Jesus and drink of His thirst-quenching Spirit. If you don't have Christ, you're not ready for His second return. Or His coming. You're not ready for Him to come again. If you don't know Jesus, today, the Scripture says, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. But if you are a child of God, is your hope squarely in your watching and waiting and knowing that He is coming again? Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, we just thank You so much for what Your Word has taught us. Lord, I thank You so much that You give us comfort in knowing that You are coming again. And when You come again, we are going to be with You forever and ever. You will always be with us. Lord, I pray if there's one here who's never trusted in Your Son Jesus as Savior, that, Lord, they would do so today. Because as Your Word has also taught, if we were to look back into Revelation 20, it says, "And I saw the small and the great. I saw all of the unbelievers who are called to the great white throne judgment. And because of their unbelief, because they never trusted in the blessed hope, Jesus, they were judged and they were cast into the lake of fire, where they are there forever and ever and ever. And Lord, I pray that that is mindful upon the unbelievers. And that would maybe be that which causes them to turn and to trust in Your Son Jesus before it's everlasting too late, to be prepared for the second coming of Christ. For Lord, we who are saved, if our faith has started to wane, if our eyes have been taken off of You and put on the world and we are falling back into the old ways of the flesh, Lord, I pray that You have broken our hearts today to realize and to be reminded that yes, You are coming. And all these things that we see surrounding us are the events that are going to take place before Your second coming occurs. And that we would once again fix our eyes upon Your Son Jesus. Whatever the need of the hour is, may we attend to it at this time. For it is in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.